We did. Who of you did foundations yesterday? Where's those ladies that did the foundations? Did you enjoy it? It's only a few of you. Enjoy it. Okay, guys, so I want to really encourage you to do the foundations 1, 2, 3, and 4. Those of you who haven't done it, I know there's many of you who have done it, and I'm sure it blessed me a lot while I did it a few years ago, so I want to encourage you to do that. And then I also, I'm standing here this morning and I don't feel very strong, but I guess that's a good thing. I've told one of two of you who've got kids as well, all my kids are sick. So I tried to explain a bit of mathematics when our little daughter was born about almost 3 months ago. And this morning I'm going to attempt to explain mathematics again, but somehow when three kids are sick, they became six. I don't know how it works. Maybe the engineers or the accountants, Henning, they can help us. Henning is praying very hard for me this morning, I know. And but I'm excited to be here. It's great to stand here this morning, and it's great to share. So let's pray together this morning. Father God, we want to thank you for this beautiful day, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that by your blood we can overcome, Father God, that we can lift our hands and we can worship you, Father God, as our Father, as our King, Lord God, as our Savior, Lord Jesus. And thank you that we can be together as family, Lord God, as friends, as brothers and sisters, Lord, as husbands and wives, as children, Lord God. And thank you that you provide for us, Father God. Thank you that we can always plug into you, Lord God, when we don't feel strong, Lord God, that you always come through for us, Father God. And yes, Lord, we just want to give our worship to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, guys, so this morning, I've got something. Thanks a lot, Maggie. Maggie's actually showing us what the sermon is going to be about. It's about submitting. So for the ladies, but scripture says that every wife must submit to her own husband. So Maggie's not mine. I've got a wife. So this is just a favor, just obedience, or we don't pay her for doing this, but it's just a blessing. Things are getting warmer. Summer is almost there. We're going to repair the aircon soon as well. I know some of you might start to feel, the spring is on its way. And I think in Namibia, we don't go from winter to spring. We go to summer directly. So the aircons will be fixed soon. But guys, I want to speak to us this morning, and I'm speaking a lot to myself because I certainly don't have got all these things 100% under the knee. You can just speak to my wife. I miss it sometimes as well. But I called it our calling as men to be the head. Now, this is something I'm going to specifically speak to us as men, as husbands. But whether you're young or older, married or not, this is important, and it's just as important to the ladies that you understand what God called your husband or your husband to be, maybe, or the husband you're still praying for to be one day. It's important that all of us understand this. And next week, we're going to turn the tide a bit and we're going to look from the other side, from the ladies' side, what scripture says about their role. And I feel, I can't say that, I can't promise it, but I believe God wants us also to look at discipline in the house, and the role of a family, and families are so important in society. I'm going to get to that. But let's first read, Jesus is the pattern for manhood, for our manhood. Jesus called a Christian husband as head of his wife, as I said, of his wife, not of all the wives. He also called to lead like Jesus, who is the Lion of Judah and the Lamb of God. Now, just to clarify, the Lion of Judah, that's not when you're angry or irritated or didn't sleep well. Then you're not the lion in the house. And when you're sleeping, maybe in front of the television, when the rugby or soccer isn't so hot, then that's not referring to a lamb, like you're snoring or just being peaceful or anything. It's got a bit different meaning, but we're going to talk about that this morning. So, I want to start off this morning by reading for you from the well-known part, in Ephesians 5, I think most of you have read through that and all of us understand it more or less. But I want to encourage you this morning, my heart isn't to teach you or try to make a point or anything. Scripture, God has given us scripture, and that's for our own benefit. It's for every family, for every husband, for every wife. So if we understand this, if we can embrace it, it's something for our benefit. When we are obedient to scripture, God will bless us. So this, in society today, there's the media and many things try to, skew. So the family structures are under a lot of attack these days. Especially if you look at certain sitcoms and things, it will really portray the husband and the wife sometimes as quite pathetic, and the wife has this strong personality, and there's things as absent and passive fathers, but that's not exactly what I want to talk about. I want us to read through Scripture and then to discover what Scripture means for us, and it's for all of us to understand. And as I said, remember, if we obey this, it's not a you must be this, you must be that. If you can relate to that, if you can make it your own, there's a blessing for you and for your family to be. Okay, so we're going to read from Ephesians 5, from verse 22 to 33. So it's quite a long part, but if you've got a Bible, you can follow. Otherwise, I believe it's going to be up there right now. Okay, in verse 22. Wives, be subject. Oh, no, I want to read from a different translation, sorry. The New American Standard Version. Wives, be subject to your own husbands, as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. And then quoting from the Old Testament, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church." And I really want you to this morning, there's a lot of emphasis on that verse 32, where he says, "This mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church," and that's to the marriage. "Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife, even as himself, and a wife must see to it that she respects her husband." Okay, so that's a mouthful. There's a lot of teaching. You can read many Bible commentaries and you'll get so much information out of it. But as I said, guys, it's really for our benefit. I want to use an example. A week or two ago, I'm sure most of you will know it, there was a young lady in the western part of Windhoek, in a rivierloop. She was raped and her throat slit. Now, who of you know about that? Okay, most of you know about that. Now, the important thing is, when I read the article in the newspaper, I felt so sorry for that lady, for her parents, the family, the bad thing that happened. And almost the first thing that came to my mind is, that guy must go to jail, or he must hang, or whatever. That's kind of a natural response. Who of you felt a bit like that? Lots of you, especially you young people. I can understand exactly why. I'm also a father, and I've got kids, so it's really something that you don't want to see to happen to your family. But you know, guys, we talked a lot about grace and the Father's love and those things the past few months. And you know what? I don't know the guy who did it. I don't know his background. But I'm quite sure he didn't come from a stable family with a good father imparting to him, loving him. You know, I'm sure there's many things in his life that went wrong. And he also has a chance for salvation. And I said, we should actually pray for him that he will come to Christ and his life can change. Okay, do you agree with that? It's important that our heart should be like that. But the thing is, if we went and looked for what the root is of that, I'm quite sure family structure did play a role, or the lack thereof. Okay? And you'll read it many times today that we live in a fatherless generation, you know, where the father is absent, meaning there is no father at home, or the father is passive, that means he is at home, but he's not taking up his role to lead the family and to provide for them, whether it's in the natural or the spiritual. And as I said, in the media as well, there's a lot of attack on family structures and things. And family is something that God, you know, initiated. It's something there. It's the normal way people are, you know, we are all born into a family, and that's why we said we welcome to the Father's house. It's God's house. We're the body. We're the church. Now, this morning, I will focus a bit on what it means for married men to be the head of his wife and at home. And it's really important if we look at Ephesians 5, you know, talking about Christ being the head of the house, women, their role, and things like that. We need to understand that because we need to live it out and we need to be obedient, because if that is what Scripture says, then we should be obedient to it. Do you agree? Amen. Okay. Now I want to start off. The marriage union is a mystery. Now, Scripture is talking about the mystery regarding marriage. Now, in the Old Testament times, that mystery wasn't so clear to us as it is today. You know, today, but today it's being openly revealed by the Apostle Paul there, namely that marriage is an image of Christ and His church. That's why in verse 32, it says, I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church, and that it means that's marriage. That's been referred to. So this whole morning we're going to talk about husbands and wives, about Christ and the church. Who of you are part of the church? All of you. Who of you are Christ? No one. Okay. It's important that we understand that, because the roles, you know, whether you're the husband or the wife, it's not something you can choose. You're born either male or female. And if you're the husband, then you're going to have a certain role according to Scripture. And when you're the wife, there's a certain role. It's not something you can choose. I promise you that. It's okay. The deepest meaning of marriage is it's meant to be a living drama of how Christ and the church relate to each other. It's important to understand that word, how the two relate to each other. Me and my wife, we relate to each other in many different ways, and the church and Christ as well. So marriage is like a metaphor or an image or a parable or an example or something, if you want to call it that, or a model for something more than a man and a woman becoming one flesh. It stands for the relationship between Christ and His church. Okay, so you understand that. We're going to talk about that comparison the whole morning. Then I want to read to you again from verse 29 to 30. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are all one members. So it's important that we can see the parallel there between the Christ and the church again. Christ nourishes and cherishes the church because we are members. And you know, members, that means with the arm and the body, and there's the worship team and the intercession and youth and kiddies church. Every one of us have a certain role to pray and to play. And as I spoke to the young ladies yesterday doing Foundation 2, God has given a calling to all of us. And it's something that you must pray about. It's something that you can pursue. It's something really exciting to know that you're not just here and you must have a daytime job and kind of kill time till eternity come, guys. Remember that God has got a calling for each of you. And it's our job to go to God and really to, and I'm speaking to you young guys now, to go and ask God what that is. And if you walk in His ways, He will show you what that is. Okay. Okay. I've got so much here to say this morning. I'm going to try my best to, I tried to memorize all of it, but I couldn't. So please bear with me this morning. I'm really going to try my best. I made a joke last year, I'm a pastor, not a parrot, so I'm going to try my best. Okay, but Paul is talking about this profound mystery. So there's something special between the husband and the wife, and something between Christ and His church. Okay, then let's go on to Ephesians 5, verse 22 to 25. The roles are also distinct, you know. As we differ, the husband from the wife, the roles are distinct. So God called the ladies to do something, and the men. Now I'm talking to the married people, and as I said, those of you aren't married yet, please listen. It's going to be applicable to you soon. Okay, verse 22 to 25. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, His body, and Himself its Savior. Now, as the church submit to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. Okay, so we're talking a lot about submitting and leading, and to be the head means to lead. Okay, now, unfortunately, most things beautiful in life that God created, the devil tried to obscure in a certain way. So this whole thing about submitting, you know, so many people really rebel against it because they got hurt either as small children or in a marriage or something. And there's so many wrong ideas about this whole you should submit, meaning now you should do this or that. I made last year, I talked about authority and submission as well, and I made a joke or two. But it's actually something we shouldn't joke about too much. You know, me and my wife sometimes, we do make a few jokes about it. But it's actually very serious, you know. Because if the husband, as the head, if he doesn't lead properly, if he doesn't know what God wants him to do as the head, or for the lady or the wife to submit, you know, if that thing is if it's not quite clear, then you're going to get it wrong, okay? So then it's there where the husband thinks, okay, if he clicks his fingers, then wife should drink coffee or beer, or you'll get many emails or cartoons or things joking about that type of thing. But that's, I don't want to joke about it this morning. It's something important. It's something biblical, and we should understand it. So guys, again, husbands are compared to Christ, and the wives are compared to the church. Husbands are compared to the head, and wives are compared to the body. Okay? Now, all of us do know how to submit. Because I ask you, who of you are part of the church? All of us are part of the church. Who of you are Christ? None of you are Christ. Now, those of you who come to intercession or things like that in church, you will know that God at certain times will tell his church certain things. You know? I don't have a preaching roster from now till December and every sermon worked out. From day to day and week to week, I trust God, and for us, for me as a pastor, and then also the people that come to intercession on a Tuesday morning, to show us what is he telling us, how should we prepare. You know, we are part of the Spirit, so we should keep in step with the Spirit. So all of us in life do know how to submit, because all of us do submit to God. You know, if God lays something on your heart, and God will tell you, maybe you are praying about, must you buy a car or not, must you buy a house or not, and you're asking God, and he's telling you, or laying it on your heart, yes, buy it, and you say, okay, no, I'm not going to do it. Then you're not submitting, okay? So it's important, all of us do know how to submit, because in some part of life, there's an old saying that says you have to be under authority to be in authority. That's why I'm not standing here in my own authority this morning. I'm under authority of a senior pastor. You know, I'm not just, not in Windhoek, but in South Africa, Stellenbosch. So I'm also accountable to someone else. Okay. Then husbands are commanded to love as Christ loved. Okay. That's very important, guys. And I said this morning, I'm speaking to myself as well. Because sometimes we work a lot, or we're tired, or agitated, or something, and then we forget a little bit how Christ does, how his love works for us. Now, this sermon is actually quite in a good season, because we talked a lot the past few months about Jesus' heart towards his people, the mercy, grace, that type of thing. So we all know, two Sundays ago when I preached, it was about what Jesus did and his love for the people. Now, we as husbands, we must love with that same unconditional love. And then the wives are committed to submit as the church is to submit to Christ. Okay? So, it doesn't just say submit, you know? It says submit as Christ submits to as the church submits to Christ. Okay? So, this is helping us a lot. Because many times in life, someone will tell you, husbands, you do this, wives, you submit, and this and that. But if we put it in perspective, Paul is talking here about the whole picture and the whole relationship between Christ and his church. Okay? So it's in that context that we should submit and that we love. So the whole Bible is actually full of that. Because God and his church, you'll find a golden thread going through all of, from Genesis to Revelation, about God and his people. Are you with me this morning? Great. Okay. Now, I want to go on, and I said all of us do know how to submit, in a sense, because all of us work for someone, or you, in a certain sense, whether you're at school or at work, you usually will submit to someone. And even if you're the head of the house, which is the husband, then you still submit to Christ. Okay, so there's a mutual place of submitting to each other as well. Do you hear that? Do you agree with that? There's a mutual place where we submit to each other. Okay? Mutually eager to meet each other's need, build each other up, and then, okay, then I want to go on. It's important to know that Jesus as the bridegroom, you know, we are the bride, the church, all of us are part of the church, as I said, and he was the bridegroom. Now, sometimes, some men, you'll see it, that they only know how to be the head, and not to how to do the servant leadership thing that Jesus taught us so much about. And you can go to scripture and you'll find so many examples, but one of the best maybe could be about Jesus taking the towel and washing his disciples' feet. Okay? Now that was, he was still the head, he's still Christ, but he's washing their feet. So he's symbolizing something there that he's serving as well, that he's loving as well, that his heart is for his people. Maybe I can ask, is there any husbands here who have washed your wife's feet? 3. Great stuff. 4. Okay, I like that. I'm not sure if all of you have seen who did it. I've done it before. It was not humbling. It was very lekker geweest. It's quite important. But you know what, guys? I'm sure that when Jesus was there in that room washing his disciples' feet, you know, because all the disciples saw Jesus casting out demons, doing miracles, I'm sure that not one of those disciples at that day was questioning Jesus' authority. They still knew he was Jesus Christ. Okay? He was still the Lion of Judah, the Lamb of God. And they knew it. So if you wash your wife's car or her feet maybe, or you do something like that, that doesn't nullify the fact that you are still the head of the house, that you stand in that office. Okay? Sometimes, let's use an example. If you're, usually men are, a lot of times, men are associated with, as you know, taking leadership with finances as well. But I know certain men who are very bad with admin. And I know certain ladies or wives that are really good with bookkeeping. Okay? So if the lady will take leadership, if I can put it that way, in calculating the month's income or expenses or just helping a bit there, that doesn't mean the roles are changing now and the wife isn't the wife anymore, the husband isn't the husband anymore. My wife actually made she told me this. If I make a dish at home and I do it better than her, then I must make it always in future. Okay? So when the scrubboat must go into the oven, I do that. And when I make a certain pasta, I do that. Now does that mean I'm now the wife? No. I get to feel boss hard off her. Okay? You see? So that doesn't mean, I want you to answer, that's part of it. That doesn't mean now roles, you are allowed to help. We have got twins, Dirk is sitting there, and I'm sure he's got twins as well, and he will tell you that we help with everything except breastfeeding. Okay? Because that's the way it is. You have to help your wife now. You see, so I'm the husband, I'm the wife, I'm the head. That doesn't mean my wife just serves me all the time. That first 3 or 6 months or how many months, every time the twins were crying at night or what, I was there with my wife helping her, and that was my part of loving her and also submitting to her and honoring her in a sense to help her to just get through the night, to get through the day. Okay? So You must understand, there's certain things, roles can't change. Husband, husband, wife, wife. Point. Point. You know, that's full stop. Okay? But you are allowed, if the lady is a better bookkeeper, to help a bit out there, or men, you are allowed to change nappies. It won't bring things in disgrace. Okay? That's something I want you to understand. So in other words, the mutuality of submission and servanthood do not cancel out the reality of leadership or headship. So remember I said I'm going to talk to the men mostly today. Ladies, listen as well. Next week we're going to change the roles a bit. Okay. That is true of Christ and his church. They serve each other, but they do not serve each other all in the same way. Christ is Christ and we are the church, to confuse the distinctions would be doctrinally and spiritually devastating. Okay? As I said, we can't be Christ and Christ the church. We can't swap the roles. Now, when you read newspapers or articles, there's many people who really are deceived about this thing today. And I'm not going to go into that, but God didn't call same-sex marriages. I firmly believe that. You can just look at the biological ways that God created us. That's a big no-no in my eyes. Okay, so also the man is the Christ-portraying husband, and the woman is the church-portraying wife. Now, the nice thing about that, if you want to learn, we can talk for weeks and weeks upon this. There's many books, but as you read through Scripture, nah, and you see Christ and you see church, then you can learn a lot, especially the New Testament, then you can learn so much if you want to know more. Those of you young people, Johan, your girlfriend who's going out, if you want to know about what it's to be, you know, by the way, Jakob Subla Jesus is aware. You can learn so much from Scripture in how to act towards your marriage partner. You know, it's not just here in Ephesians. You can read through the whole of Scripture, and you can understand, you can learn the heart of Christ, you can learn about the body of Christ, and then you'll understand so much better how this relationship is working. Okay. And then something important that all of us must recognize. We are fallen men, and we are fallen wives. None of us are perfect. None of us has got it completely right. So the fact that we are fallen, you know, that we are sinful, okay, means that we should let Jesus Christ redeem us in our roles as husbands and wives as well. And then by modeling it after God's intention for either the Christ, for Christ or the church, to me, and that means to follow and to see. As I said, read Scripture and then you learn about your role as husband or as wife from Scripture. Okay. Now, there's also a very nice, and God is just so awesome, you know. Say, God is awesome.
God is awesome.
Because when we read Scripture so many times, I'm just astonished to see how wonderfully God have written it, you know. Because we can talk, as I said, for hours and hours just on this passage, you know. But if Scripture were to say, women, submit to your husbands, men, lead, then there would be so much room for error. Do you agree? You know, because then you could just do what you want in a sense. But therefore, as we can see this relationship between Christ and the church, you can understand that a husband's role to lead, that does not mean abuse or control or neglect, because we should do it as Christ are doing it. Okay? And Christ doesn't neglect or abuse or anything like that. So we can really, that's just awesome to me. Okay, rather it's a responsibility to love like Christ in the leading and protecting and providing for your family. And that's the next part that I'm slowly going to go on to, is that as we lead, we should also provide and protect. Okay, and just for the ladies' side, submission doesn't mean we should be slaves or anything. That's not what it's meaning. That's why we've got this beautiful picture that's almost playing in front of our eyes as we read the whole of Scripture. Okay, you can quickly stretch your legs, and I'm going to take a sip of water. You can stretch your legs. Okay, guys, so let's continue as the husband's role as leader. Scripture said we should be the head. That means we are leaders. And being leaders, I'm going to talk about, on the second part of the sermon, I'm going to talk about providing and protecting. Now, all of you, I'm sure, understand what those two English words mean. But I want us to just look a bit more into depth regarding that. So Let's see here in verses 25 to 27. This Paul is showing the husband how to love his wife. That is how to exercise the kind of servant leadership Christ did. I'm reading from Scripture here. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Remember that part, giving himself up for her. That he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Now, in talking about protection, you know, we should protect as men. We should protect at all cost, because that's what Christ gave himself up for us. He was, he died in our place on the cross. He became a curse for us. And that means he gave himself for, you know, we can also say to protect his bride, now, which is the church, which is us. So us as husbands, or as men in the church, as leaders, and through that, through becoming a curse and neglect, everything like that, now I'm saying something wrong here, but in that way, becoming a curse and hanging on the cross, you know, we were all reconciled to God, so I had a good outcome. But from that part, we can see giving himself up for her. We as husbands, you know, we should also do that for our families. If someone in the house is going to sleep hunger, you know, it's not your wife, it's not your kids, it's going to be you. Okay? So we're going to stand first in the forefront of taking, you know, protecting your family as well. That's why at night time, when the dog is barking or you suspect something is out there, then you're not going to ask your wife and say, "Gou, liefie, gaan kyk gou wie's al buite." You know, you don't do that. Okay? It's really important. So we as men, we protect at all cost. That's really important. You agree? Okay. Then let's look at provision. Let's consider verses 28 to 29. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. Okay? Now those words, nourish and cherishes. Cherishes. Okay? That is the significant words in that passage. Now, I just want to read you, I've looked it up, that word nourish in Greek, it's actually ektrepai. Now, in scripture, that's most often used in the Bible for raising children and providing with them with what they need. Okay? So, we're going to continue, and you can see that whether you are looking at provision or protection, both of them has got this a meaning in the natural, and both of them has got a meaning in the spiritual. Okay? So that's, I think you can see where I'm going with that. So in the natural, you know, what does provision mean? That's meaning to provide, you know, food and shelter and things like that for your family. And that means you need to work. You need to earn an income. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to earn a salary to protect food or shelter for your family. Okay? So the husbands need to protect against physical... he also needs to protect... Husbands need to protect against physical threats to the life of the family and the spiritual threats to the family as well. Okay? So, physical protection, you know, that's like food and shelter. When we talk about spiritual provision... Okay, spiritual provision, that's like the word of God, spiritual guidance, instruction, encouragement. And as I said, I'm not sure yet, but I'm sure in the next weeks, I really want us to talk a bit more about families and about raising kids. And I mean, I'm now there in this whole, almost in Afrikaans, in the pale flock. And it's so nice to talking to some of you for the older people in church and just sometimes asking a bit of advice about how do you deal with this, how do you deal with that. And there's so much that we as fathers, as mothers and fathers and mothers to be can learn from that. I mean, I'm sure we can talk a lot about teaching your children from the Word of God and protecting them, giving them guidance, you know, affirming them, also imparting things to your kids. I really, it's my heart. I want to impart certain things to my boys from my manhood. You know, and that's not just about sharing knowledge and telling them do ABC. Imparting involves so much more. You need to share vision with them. You have to give them a bit of revelation, because our God is always taking us from glory to glory. And that must be our hearts with raising our kids as well. I want my boys to, you know, to at a younger age come to salvation. I want to see them grow far beyond the things I'm doing, you know, because I believe that's what a good father needs to do. I'm not threatened by them and think, oh, what if they do better at school than me or anything. I'll be so glad if they can do better at school than me. Okay? Then physical protection, we talked about, that's a, like, you know, protecting against intruders, natural disasters or disease. We always need to stand in front. We need to protect our families at all cost. And then spiritual protection. That's so significant, you know. I can't get this incident that happened a week or what ago out of my head, because we need to protect in the spiritual as well. I'm standing many times before God and I'm just praying the blood of Jesus Christ over my family and asking Him to protect them, because at night I can look out of the window or I can think I'm going to protect by putting up a higher fence or a light or getting a dog or something like that. But in the spiritual, I'm just the agent. I can't do the spiritual protecting myself. But you know, I can ask Jesus Christ to do it. Okay? And we have, as fathers, we've got such an important role to play regarding that at home and our families. We need to pray for our kids. And we have to look at warnings that we get from God. We need to really discern very well. And there's certain influences that we really need to get out of our homes. And it's so nice when I speak to many parents today, and so many people are so much clued up than I think maybe our parents, my parents were, or my grandparents were way back. Now the reason is my dad, he was in school in Gubabes, and he told me it was very difficult for them to sin, or to commit a crime almost, if I can put it that way, because the whole school system, the course structures those days, things were so controlled, you know, room for error. You know, you could maybe leave the gate open for the donkeys to slip out and then you could ride on them. But that's not too bad, okay? But the thing is today with the internet and kids having cell phones, I'm sure how many of you young people have cell phones? All of you, I'm sure all of you have got. I was about 21 when I got my first one, okay? And I thought I don't want one, but then after a while I see it's really nice. But bottom line is, parents need to have a lot more discernment today, because in the books that I read when I grew up, the young boys, they went and they stole oranges or lemons or something from the old man down in the street, and then he chased them, and it was a bit of fun, you know. But today there's so many things that we as parents, as fathers especially, you know, we need to keep that gate closed, because if your children get harmed. And remember that scripture, the devil is walking around like a roaring lion. And he now, he wants to devour, he wants to steal, kill and destroy. And we need to keep that gate closed very tightly, because sometimes, some damage, if your kid gets some certain spiritual damage, if I can put it that way, you know, it takes a lot to make it right again. We really need to be alert, guys. So, provision, we're talking about the natural and the spiritual. Protecting, we're talking about the natural and the spiritual. So I really believe that we should be examples as our families, you know, that we should in the church, we should work on this, we should pray about this. Sometimes you had a very controlling father and then you feel that you don't really want to submit to your husband. Now, you will get circumstances like that. But then you must go to God and you must ask the Holy Spirit to change something in your heart, to minister to your heart. You know, not all of us get from wonderful. Our parents also had their faults or their lack of knowledge at times. And it's important that we get it right, that society can see that that there can be marriages that work. There can be people that are happily married for 30, 40, 50, how many years? Okay? Because so many people are so discouraged today. You know, you fall in love maybe with a man or a lady, depending which you are, and then you are very excited. But as the relationship grows, then you start to get uncomfortable, because this submitting and authority and leading and stuff, that gives you bad memories maybe from the way that things were in your house when you were brought up. And those of you who maybe feel like that this morning, you feel but you never had a father that protected you spiritually, or in the you didn't provide maybe or stuff. Remember, God can give all of those things to us. He will teach us. And I want to encourage you this morning. As I said, I don't want to stand here and teach you something specific, you know, this morning. I want all of us to understand this, because as we are looking at this almost like a video clip about Christ and His church and the marriage and husbands and wives, we can, as we read Scripture, I want you from now on, whether you're still young, you can start to build yourself by that now, to understand better how does that mutual submission, how does that relationship work, okay? So who of you are encouraged by that? Some of you, that's great. Okay. So that's my heart this morning. That's what I felt I should share about. And next time, we're going to just look about it from the other way around. We're going to look a bit from the ladies' side. What does God call us to do? And there's a very nice book that I can recommend to you who want to read. We've got a copy or two at church. It's called Love and Respect. You know? So men need respect and women need to be loved. But it's all based on Christ and His church, you know. Again, that whole, the way the two interact. So you can come to the office anytime and you can ask us, you can borrow that, you can even borrow other books also. So guys, I want the worship team, if you can come up to the front quickly. And then the rest of you guys, will you please stand with me this morning? As the worship team are now preparing, guys, I really want you to focus now for a few minutes more before you go out of church. I really want to ask you, as I was speaking this morning, and I think you know by now how things work, you know, we always trust. I can't change you. I can't exactly tell you what to do. God will give you a revelation. The Holy Spirit will speak to your heart. But as I was speaking this morning, and I was talking about the husband, and I was talking about the wife, and about leading, and the roles, and those type of things. And maybe if you felt, can you all quickly listen now? Maybe you felt this morning in your heart that you don't know what it means to be a husband and to lead. How to stand in that office God has called you for. Or maybe you feel that you hear what the pastor is saying this morning, But you just can't relate to that. You can't see how you're going to be a loving, supporting wife one day that's going to respect your husband. Maybe there's a bit of rebellion. Maybe there's hurt in your heart. Maybe it's the way you were brought up, the way your father maybe abused you or neglected. Maybe he was an absent father. Maybe he was a passive father. And that's part of fallen society we live in. I want to tell you this morning, it's not God's fault. But there's hope, there's light for that. We can all come to God, and He can come and help us to deal with that. So I want to invite you guys this morning, as the worship team are starting now slowly, and we're going to worship God afterwards. I want to encourage you, I want to ask those of you who really feel a bit of, let's call it rebellion this morning. If you just feel you're hearing what I'm saying, but you just can't see how you're going to make that work. You don't have to get it right on your own. God will help you in this. Okay, so if you feel like that this morning, I want you, as maybe you can just all close your eyes for one moment, just to focus now to the inside of your heart. The Holy Spirit would have been speaking to you this morning. You know, those of you I'm speaking to now, you would know I'm speaking to you this morning. So if you feel a bit of that, maybe rebellion, and then I want you to come to the front as the worship team are going to start. I want to pray with you this morning. And then the second group, if you feel that you really want to be a husband and you want to lead and you want to raise your godly kids, but you just can't see how you're going to make it, then I also want you to come to the front. And even those young people standing here this morning, even if you aren't married yet, you just can't see how you're going to get it right one day, I also want you guys to come to the front. We would like to pray with you also. And then thirdly, guys, and that can be the most important moment of this Sunday, if there's any one of you, we're talking about Christ and His church, about the love for Jesus Christ, that unconditional love that Jesus Christ has got for all of us. Jesus died on the cross so that we can have life and life in abundance. If there's anyone here this morning and you are not sure about your relationship with Jesus Christ, if you have never made a commitment to follow Him and to be, you know, to be born again, to give your life to Him, I want to encourage you to come to the front this morning. I can't give Jesus to you, but I want to pray with you. Jesus is here this morning and He wants to invite you, and maybe just that all your brokenness, all your hurt this morning, He will take from you. So if you don't stay in that relationship, if there's people like that, that third group, I also want you to come to the front, please. Amen.